rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WYSL is your sports leader. Now, on WYSL 1040 and live on the web at WYSL1040.com, North America's longest-running soccer radio talk show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Andrew Battisti, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, and brought to you by the following sponsors: Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, and Dr. David Olivo, family dentistry. Now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. I'm your host, Andrew Battisti, your co-host, actually. I'm not taking over Joe's job. Don't worry, all you Joe Sirianni fans out there. We're live from WYSL Control. Today, we will be focusing on local pro soccer with the top men for both the Rhinos and the USL coming on the show. And we also welcome back our favorite world traveler, Dick Howard, our international correspondent, fresh from his meetings at FIFA headquarters in Zurich. We'll get all the scoop on that. And here is our host, Joe Sirianni.
Good afternoon, Andrew, and welcome all soccer fans to Soccer's a Kick in the Grass. And just another beautiful day in Western New York, and we're here to talk soccer. And so much things have happened. We're going to talk to one of our favorite person, Pat Ercoli, the new general manager of the Rochester Rhino. We're going to talk to Rob Clark, and of course, we're going to talk to Tim Holtz. And we try to get to the bottom of really what's happened to the USL One, because there are so much at stake, and the future of the Rhino really rested with what the USL is going to do.
It certainly is going to be a big part of it, Joe. You just gave our lineup there. We will have today on the show the new general manager and director of soccer for the Rochester Rhinos. It was announced on Thursday. And I got to compliment Pat Ercoli. He is very tight-lipped. We had him on last week. He didn't say a word about it.
So, I know, and privately he didn't do it there either. Although he smiled a couple of times when I mentioned some names, but he didn't say nothing. So my compliment to him, and our congratulations, and we wish him well.
We certainly do, and we'll have Pat on in our next segment, and along with Pat, we'll be on the air at the same time together, Rob Clark, the owner of the Rhino. So we'll talk to both of them, and we'll get the gist of what they're planning for 2010, what they're planning on changing, what they're planning on keeping, and we have some pointed questions that we want to ask Pat and Rob about some things that we feel that the Rhinos should do to help to bring back the magic of the Pat Ercoli coaching era, both on the field with the results and in the stands.
Well, you know, Andrew, that if you look back in the past, I remember that Pat and Chris Economides and Frank DeRoss, and especially those three guys, that they were key people in the organization at that time. Okay, they used to mingle with the people. They used to Chris used to be in the promenade in the old stadium, and he knew everybody. He greeted everybody, and Pat, of course, was on the field. And he was the figure that everybody knew. So now it's a reversal thing, and I believe that Pat is going to do a great job, but he's got some challenges, and he has to bridge a lot of things that were done wrong, and I think he's capable of doing that.
That's right, and maybe we'll even try to weasel the name of the new Rhinos coach out, because according to an interview done yesterday over on Jeff DeVeronica and James Weissy's show, Pat mentioned that the coach has been selected, but they have not officially announced him yet. I assume it's a him, it's not a her, so all you ladies out there, please don't think I'm sexist, okay?
Well, should we take a guess?
No, let's see what we can do, and we'll have Pat and Rob on shortly, and then we'll have Tim Holt, the president of the USL, and just as much the Rhinos were in a bit of turmoil at the end of the season, the USL is in a bit of turmoil with these teams that are considering a breakaway league. And top of the list are the two finalists, the champions Montreal and the runners-up Vancouver. And we're going to talk to Tim. We're going to try to get the latest news from him and see where this league stands, because it's going to certainly affect the Rhinos. If there's another league that gets started, does that mean the Rhinos de facto get pushed into a Division III type team? And that will affect, obviously, the players we can bring in.
Well, I really don't think that the Rhinos, in that scenario that you just described, it should happen. I don't believe that the Rhino will go to a lower division kind of thing, because we're not used to that.
And Rob Clark
And Rob Clark, in the conversations that I had with him privately, he's not in favor of that. They want to keep Rochester in the Premier Division, where, you know, the next step is MLS. So, I mean, do you remember in those years when the Pat Hercule years, we were the first team to be mentioned by Sports Illustrated, you know, that they're a well-run organization. We had the opportunity to go in MLS. We were, you know, all we needed was the stadium. And I believe that there was the reason why the stadium was built and the proponent of that. I remember Charlie Shannon and I standing in front of the people, get the signature to submit to the county government to be able to show to them that there was a need and the support of the people. We collect some like 40,000-50,000 signature that we give it to Mr. DeRoss to submit to the county government. So those were the things that were done in the past, and we needed a stadium. As we got it right now, to go to MLS. Whatever happened after that, with all the ownership, and kind of diminished those things, and so it takes a lot of rebuilding right now to go back to where we were.
That's right, and we'll see what Pat and Rob have to say about that. Then in the end, we'll have Mr. Zero Dick Howard live from Toronto. He was in Zurich, Switzerland at the FIFA headquarters, and we'll find out what's going on with FIFA. And also, we will have live scores from Europe coming up right after this first break here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, right here on News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
TopNotchMonogram.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Hey, we haven't heard this in a while. This is from the old days of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass when Charlie Schiano was the host. Well, Joe, before we get to Pat Hercule and Rob Clark, as we promise, every week we're going to run down the live scores going on and the scores that have already finished on today in Europe. Let's start with Italy today, as Joe has been giving me the evil eye. He wants me to start with Italy. And starting at the top, Inter has taken command of Serie A, 7 points now ahead of second-place Juventus. and they won today at Livorno 2-0. And so, Joe, I tell you, this is, could be Inter's year already.
Well, let me tell you, already is. But let's write down the score. Cagliari Atalanta 3-0. Chievo Udinese 1-1. Fiorentina Catania 3-1. Juventus, disappointing result. 2-3 in Napoli, but a good result for Naples. My compliment to tutti i Napoletani. And Livorno Inter, like you mentioned, 2-0. Milano Parma 2-0. Palermo Genoa is going to be played later on today. Roma Bologna 2-1. Sampdoria Bari 0-0. And Siena Lazio 1-1.
A lot of ties today in Italy, and that Bari result hurts Sampdoria. They've now fallen further behind Inter. It's going to be tough to beat them now, I think. They're in command of Serie A. One game in the Premiership, and in the second half, it's scoreless between Birmingham City and Manchester City. And I got to mention this one result from Scotland. I know we have a lot of Scottish fans out there. Something very unusual happened. Rangers were ahead away to Dundee 1-0 at halftime. But the game was played in a driving rainstorm. The referees, after halftime, abandoned the match, so the whole match will have to be replayed. And actually, both managers said it was the right decision because there was water on the pitch. And we've seen the match when the Rhinos played Montreal.
I know,
not soccer. That's ridiculous, is what it was. So congratulations. The referee actually made a good decision. We'll compliment the referee out in Scotland. But right now, we'll have more updates on what's going on in England a little bit later on. But right now, let's bring in our first two special guests today. First off, the owner of the Rochester Rhinos, Rob Clark, joins us, as well as, Baron, we're very happy to call our friend, the new general manager and director of soccer for the Rochester Rhinos, Pat Erkley. And their joint appearance today is sponsored by chiropractic Dr. Frank Grayson of Brighton. And Pat and Rob, thank you very much for being with us on the show together.
It's great to be here.
Thanks, guys.
Well, Pat, let's start with you. First of all, we want to say congratulations to you for coming on board with the Rhinos and being hired as the general manager and director of soccer, and also that you didn't spill the beans on the show last week. So that says that you can keep a tight lip when you need to. But tell us about what it feels like for you to come back to the franchise in this role.
Well, I think it gives me the opportunity to make a difference in a capacity that, although I felt like I did a lot of the general manager responsibilities when I was coaching, it allows me to be a little more focused in that aspect. So I think, for me, speaking to Rob, we obviously want to make some changes that are going to excite the fans and create the passion that we used to have.
Now, Rob, on the show when you came on the day after the Rhinos were eliminated from the playoffs, you had said that you were going to do a combined general manager coach role. Tell us what changed your mind about that decision and why we're having now Pat as the GM and the soon-to-be-named coach, who I guess has already been selected.
Well, I think it was just the opportunity of being able to have Pat come on board with us. There was just something that obviously we couldn't pass up, and obviously we're very thrilled to have him with the organization.
Well, Mr. Clark, congratulations for the selection. Not only of my friend, but I think that Pat brings a new approach to the Rhinos. He brings back what he had before, a relationship with the community, and which was, it was needed. And I my congratulations because you made a good choice.
Thanks very much.
Now, the other thing that I want to ask you as we go forward, learning from the past and past mistake or past things that did go wrong, what is the first priority that you guys are pursuing in order to establish those relationships?
Well, the nice thing about this new relationship with Pat coming on board is it'll free me up to concentrate on more pressing issues I guess you'd call the boring part of running a soccer club, which is focusing on finalizing a new stadium, naming rights sponsor, and things along that nature. It'll really free up my time to try and really work hard on the business aspect of the operation and help complement the coach and GM in any capacity that they that they need me in. But, you know, obviously with Pat's wealth of experience, I don't see that happening very much. So that's very comforting for me as well. I don't, you know, that portion of the business is obviously in great hands, and that'll free up my time.
Well, and it certainly is, Rob. I know, sorry to interrupt you there, Joe. I'll follow up there. I know, Pat, that you know, you've been in business for many years, both owning your own business and also working in a managerial aspect as you do currently for a large fabric company, we'll say a craft company, we'll leave it at that. But, Pat, I guess my Joe and I were talking on the way down to the station today, and I've written recently, last night, on the Rhino, one of the Rhino web boards, that the business side is, I guess, something that I'm really concerned about, because I just did a business plan for the Project Management Institute of Rochester, an organization I'm on the board of. And it's just, there's so much to put into the business side, and there's certainly needs to be some changes made. But do you think that it's that the first step would be to create a new business plan for the Rhinos, given the information and knowledge that we've learned in the past 4 years being at the stadium and looking forward maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road?
Well, I don't know if it's such a business plan, but it's more looking at the profit and loss statement that they have in place and just looking at the areas that can be tweaked, you know, things that can change. And we've just looking at it quickly, Rob and I, there were quite a few things that transpired with the old regime in a cost aspect that didn't really need to happen based upon the fact that with our success in the past, we were able to trade a lot of things, and I don't think that's been happening recently. Then there's also, you know, one of the aspects that was talked about yesterday, and I've had several conversations with friends in regards to this issue, but, you know, the parking aspect that we have in place, but how can that be improved? How can someone that really doesn't know the area get familiar with it so that they feel comfortable going to that area, even though that I feel it's a myth? Yeah, that obviously it's downtown, but it's no different than any other downtown. But I think, you know, having an idea of the best way to get down there. Of course, that's been difficult over the last 2 years, not only because maybe people didn't know about it, but the construction that's been going on. It kind of directed you in different ways to get down there, so that made it difficult. But I think also Rob and I looked at the facilities where we house the players now as locker rooms, how we can change that not only to benefit the players and maybe the organization's self-esteem to some degree, you know, because it's still considered a trailer. but if we can kind of alleviate that would also free up space for parking. So we talked about those things. I mean, we also have other areas that we looked at that we said, hey, you know what, this is an area where we can improve upon, and it's going to help the bottom line. You know, essentially, you want to do that. Now, if it means, you know, in most businesses, when you look at the P&L, you're always looking at payroll and saying, okay, how can you trim the payroll? Because that's the easiest thing to change. But, you know, you also don't want to trim the payroll at a cost that you don't increase sales. And in this case, you know, we want to make sure that we have a good product on the field. So this way, you know, the people that haven't been coming for whatever reason, all of a sudden do come, do have an entertaining team that, you know, excites them to want to come back. So, you know, it's a teetering thing, because you really don't want to trim and hurt your product, but that's what we have to do. We have to find the areas that we can trim at and then still continue to have a good product.
Pat, I just want you to know that ever since the announcement has been made, I belong to several clubs, that Italian clubs, and first of all, the news has been received very positively from people that have been coming to the stadium and people that have stopped coming to the stadium because of the product that was presented to them.
I got to tell you, Joe, I've had, you know, about at least 10, 15 people come here at my business. And I've had, you know, a couple of postcards from people. So, you know, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the support. And, you know, and I think, you know, the difficult thing was back then that we had so much success that maybe to some degree we didn't appreciate it. And I'm, you know, I'm including myself in that aspect too. I mean, I knew that it came so easy, but I realized because I'd played so long that it's not an easy feat. And just sometimes when you get things that easy, you become complacent and you don't realize what effect it could have later on. And this is some of the effect that we're experiencing right now.
Well, my thought toward that, Pat, is that because I think now is the prime time, and, you know, they're just my thoughts, and I don't want to be misinterpreted, is that to win back those people that walked away from, you know, for whatever reason, the old season ticket hold. I remember one time the rumor was that we had 5,000 season ticket holder. Maybe it wasn't true, but I think that right now the objective is to be able to win those guys back.
Well, it wasn't true. We had 5,000 season ticket holders, but you know, a good percentage of that, I won't say it was less than half, were sponsorship trades. So in a sense, they were considered season ticket holders. But, you know, you didn't get hard cash for it, but you got a trade for it. So, you know, you could sit there and say, oh, that has no value, but it does, because when you have to go out and pay for it, all of a sudden it affects your bottom line.
That's certainly true. And we're here with Rob Clark, the owner of the Rhinos, and Pat Erkley, the new general manager and director of soccer of the Rhinos. Rob, one of the things that Joe and I talked about, again, on the way down here, we have some time we spend chit-chatting when we come down to WYSL, is the schedule for next year. And one of the things that, you know, that I've thrown out there as a possible solution to the perceived stadium location issues regarding safety or whatever is to play more games during the day. And I know that coming up probably early next year, the league is going to do the scheduling, depending again what happens with the league. We're going to have Tim Hold on in about 10 minutes to talk about that. But do you think that's a possibility, that maybe play more games during the day to bring the families in, you know, maybe in a, where they don't perceive the stadium as being not as safe as it could be, or and they need bringing in senior citizens who don't even go out at night anyway?
Well, we petered with that last year, as you know. We had a couple of Sunday afternoon games, which I think were, to a large degree, successful. They basically drew a little under a normal Friday night crowd. I would be skeptical to change a Saturday night to a Saturday afternoon, just because if it doesn't work, that could equate to thousands of dollars in lost revenue, and I'm not sure I'd want to take that gamble. But this week and next week, I'll obviously be meeting with Pat, and hopefully a new coach we'll meet with in the next week or so, and we'll have to sit down and formulate what we want our schedule to look like for next year. Obviously, Pat will have an extraordinary amount of influence over that, and hopefully we'll get something that we're satisfied with and can be successful with.
Mr. Clark, based upon what you just said, and maybe it's a premature question for me, but, you know, there's been so much said about the budget that you guys had last year and the year before or whatever. Is your intention to improve the budget to bring better players, or to leave it the same, or maybe you don't want to answer, but what is the answer?
I prefer to say improve the coaching staff and the front office staff to have better performance. No, I'm just kidding. that's something that is probably more geared towards Pat and the new coach, and obviously I need to try and make sure that they have all the tools they need to be successful in doing their job. And to be honest with you, we're in a much better position this offseason than we were in the last offseason financially. We're very close to having a break-even budget and or turning a small profit next year, and obviously that will be our goal, and we want to continue to grow our fan base.
Pat, at the news conference on Thursday, thanks to my partner Joe Sirianni, we had a number of the former Lancer players there to congratulate you and to be in the audience when you were named the GM. Next year is the 40th anniversary of the Lancers winning the NASL title. Is that something that the Rhinos are going to plan to celebrate and maybe bring some of those Lancer fans back to be season ticket holders for the Rhinos? Maybe bring some of the old players in, like a Dick Howard or Carlos Mendieri?
Yeah, I don't see that would be a great thing to do. Obviously, 40 years, not only is it a good thing to bring them back in order to celebrate that victory in the 1970s, but, you know, it's also a situation where you have players within your own team that it kind of gives them an opportunity to sit back and say, hey, you know what, if we accomplish something, we'll be remembered over the course of time. And I've seen it happen with many teams where all of a sudden you bring back some of the old players that have accomplished something, and it kind of ignites the team that you do have in place. So, I mean, it's dual purpose. One, you celebrate what they accomplished. Two, you help your younger players realize the meaning of that.
Rob, I know there was mention about league meetings happening this week. Can you give us some more details on what's going on with that?
Not too much detail to tell. I fly out tomorrow. I'm gone all week. Some of our topic points are expansion teams coming in, obviously league-wide reforms, things along that nature. Hopefully we'll get a lot of progress made.
And I'm sure Tim Holt's going to talk about that in our next segment, and we're going to talk about also the infamous possible breakaway league and these teams that are supposedly not coming back, or maybe they're coming back, who knows. Anyway, this is obviously, it's a big issue that you guys are going to need to deal with as well, possibly, depending on what happens.
Pat and I have had a lot of discussions even before Pat coming on board, and as I told Pat and several others, you can only control what you can control, and there's some things that are just out of your hands. But I like the position that we are in as an organization, we'll have to wait and see what happens with those teams and prospective teams, and hopefully everything will come together, and we'll have a much stronger league in 2010 and 2011 with some exceptional expansion candidates coming into the league.
Before we let you go, both of you, I would like you to say in your own words to our listener, give them an incentive or a request to buy tickets, season tickets, and with the promise that we're going to have an entertaining year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the announcement of Pat, and I think the announcement of our next head coach will show that the good faith leaps that we're putting forward to improve our organization and our product to our fan base, and hopefully that's going to build excitement in the community.
Pat, yeah. What about you?
Well, I can tell you that both myself and the new person that's going to be coming in that will be relentless in regards to our work ethic, and I think, you know, the person that I had the opportunity to choose and Rob approved, I think is the type of individual that, he's 24/7 on trying to be successful and get the right people in place. And, you know, when you talked about budget earlier, that's definitely something, like I said, from a payroll standpoint that affects your bottom line. And we obviously are taking that into account and also realizing that, we'll put the right people in place and make it happen.
Well, both of you, we want to thank you very much for being on the show. One last quick question. When will the coaching announcement be made? Do you have any idea?
You go ahead, Pat.
Well, unfortunately, before I took on this position, I had already planned a vacation trip. So I'll be gone from the 4th to the 15th. So right after the 15th, most likely we'll make the announcement.
Okay, we will certainly be there at the press conference, and we'll be looking forward to that announcement. And both of you, thank you very much for being on the show. We look forward to working with you guys again in 2010. And Joe?
And Pat, from the bottom of my heart to both of you, I wish you great success for the coming year.
Thank you. obviously we appreciate what you guys do. Every little bit helps, and obviously this radio program has made a big part over the years, and obviously we'll continue to do that. So, I mean, you know, that's the difference between making a team successful and one not being successful, and that's everybody playing their part.
Well, again, thank you both for being on the show, and we'll talk to you again soon. Pat, have a good holiday, and Rob, have a safe trip out to the West Coast.
Thanks, guys.
Rob Clark and Pat Erkley here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And when we come back, we will have with us the head man of the USL. Tim Holt will join us, and we'll get the latest information on what's going on with the league here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on News Power 1040 WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Casey Keller. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogram.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
And welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni. Thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully you all set your clocks back an hour, or else you probably wouldn't be listening to us right now. We also want to mention that Soccer is a Kick in the Grass very soon will be on Facebook and Twitter, so we'll give you a chance to interact with both Joe and I via social media. Actually, we already are on Twitter. Just joined up a couple days ago. Our ID is Radio Soccer. So, again, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on Twitter at Radio Soccer. And we'll be on our Facebook page that will be developed very soon. Joe, right now we're very happy to have with us a gentleman who certainly has had a lot of media scrutiny and questions and about what's going on with the USL. We're very happy to have him on the show right now. He is the president of the USL, Mr. Tim Holt, and Tim's appearance is sponsored by our newest sponsor, Dr. David Olivo, Dental Practice in Gates. And Tim, thank you very much for joining us.
Andrew, Joe, it's a pleasure. How are you?
Doing very well. How are things in Florida?
Very sunny and warm.
Not here. It was sunny this morning.
Yeah, no complaints about the weather.
Well, Tim, you've been on our show many times in the past, and I want to thank you personally because this is like a renewing a friendship that we have with you. And we have so many questions for you that probably going to take us the next hour.
We only have about 10 minutes.
Yeah. So. But anyway, tell us a little bit about the success of the league to start with for 2009.
Yeah, 2009 has been another banner year for USL. We're going on to our 25th season in existence, which in soccer years, and Joe, you'll appreciate this, is an eternity. I think it's a testament to the adaptability, the flexibility of the league and its structures over time, and a lot of great team owners that have put their stuff in the vision of Francisco Marcos historically. So we're moving into a new phase now. 2009, both in the USL First Division, was a great year through all of our developmental leagues, was also a great year. You know, when you talk about USL One, can't help but mention the success of the Portland Timbers, both on and off the field this year. Just, you know, the latest incarnation of the Timbers have been around since 2001, but you really got to look at it as a breakthrough year. They put a league record unbeaten string together of over 20 games. And you know, we had a couple of attendances where they're drawing over 10,000 fans, so that was exciting for us. We had a great season, we had a great playoff, you know, super championship, two legs for the first time, which was neat for the fans in both markets to see the championship, and you know, for our eighth straight year, a game of the week on Fox, so and USL Live supplementing that with all the rest of the USL One games. Live. So, you know, since I've been involved with the league and USL One in particular over the last 10 years, it's grown by leaps and bounds. We're not certainly complacent with where we are, but we're excited about where the league's come. If you look at it in any, you know, sort of five-year increment, we've made a lot of progress. We've got a long way to go, and we're looking forward to the future.
Well, speaking from us in the media, Tim, we're very happy about the free USL Live feeds. We're able to watch all the matches this year on USL Live and Fox Soccer Channel. And the two-leg playoffs, I think, was a great thing personally. Joe and I remember from 1970, the last time there was a two-leg final was the Rochester Lancers beating the Washington Darts. Next year we celebrate our 40th anniversary of the 1970 Lancers championship team. I think having Montreal and Vancouver in that two-leg final, it was just tremendous, intense soccer, sellout crowds at both locations. And you know, a lot of people in Rochester don't like Montreal very much, but you got to say they were a deserving champion. They won all six games they played in the playoffs, and you can't ask any more of that from any team.
You know, there's really two seasons, aren't there? There's the 30-game regular season, the championship, if you will, that you know, the Portland Timbers won this year, which is very important to us, and you know, that sort of success carried out over a 5-month season. And then there's the sort of the playoff tournament where, you know, oftentimes it goes to the team that's on the best form and the hottest team, and that was certainly the Montreal Impact this year. So it's exciting. I think, you know, we like the playoffs. I think it's exciting for the fans and sort of get the best of all worlds. So yeah, 2000, it was a great way to end what was a really successful season for us at all of our respective levels.
Well, okay, Tim, now the tough questions.
Yeah. Well, Tim, you know, the tough question right now. Tell us about the stability of the league, the runway, this new league that is talked about, the being formed. Where is the truth of the whole thing? And how many teams are committed to the U.S. One?
So, you know, I will say this, and you may be a little disappointed by my responses because I'm not going to get into a ton of detail. I think it's still a little bit premature to get into a ton of details and specifics about Team X, Y, and Z. But what I will tell you is that, you know, we at USL are working very hard right now. We've gone through an ownership change over the course of about 8 to 10 weeks ago with New Rock Soccer Holdings acquiring USL from Nike, which remains a major sponsor of ours for through 2018. It's a significant long-term sponsorship. We've spent a lot of time with our new ownership sort of evaluating the state of each and every one of our leagues over the course of the last 8 weeks. It's been a pretty intensive period. Our new CEO, Alec Papadakis, has gone and individually met with all the USL One teams, specifically as a matter of priority, to familiarize himself with what the important issues are. You know, what I will say is that we've got some exciting plans for the future of USL One. There will be a future of USL One, contrary to some of the things that we've read and seen out there. We anticipate that USL One in 2010 will be between an 8 to 12 team league. And I'm not going to get into the constituency of that league, of our league at this particular point in time. But we'll tell you that we're actually tomorrow morning for a meeting in Beaverton, Oregon at Nike's headquarters. They're hosting for all the USL 1 teams, and we're going to discuss both the current and the future of the league. So, you know, it's a meeting about building upon where we are right now. Certainly there are some challenges. You know, with all the success that we've had at the team level and on the field this year, you know, I'd be remiss to deny that there haven't been some challenges this year. So we're working through those. We're moving ahead and sort of focused on the future rather than dwelling in the past.
Can you tell us if all the existing team will be represented at this meeting that you just talked about?
Well, no, I'm not going to get into any of the specific constituency of who's attending the meeting or who may or may not be in the league next year. I mean, I think that's for another day, and I'm happy to come onto your show again when that day occurs. But it's for, you know, it's for all USL 1 teams for the 2010 season. So there'll be some a lot of familiar faces, and there'll be some new faces in the room.
But then, there's,
you know, we're excited about the meeting. We're excited about moving forward, and certainly have our work cut out for us in the next several months.
Can you tell us the new applicants for the league, the new teams that are buying to come in?
Were you asking for the specifics of those?
No. Just the names, the cities,
the expansion teams.
Into the specifics of markets that are interested in there, you know, despite some of the challenges that we've had and some of the, you know, the public stuff that's been out there over the course of the last couple of months in particular, you know, franchise interest at USL One, both internally from within the USL system of leagues and externally, has never been greater. So, you know, it's obviously down to us to make sure that with new franchises that we're adding, we're making responsible decisions that'll help, you know, elevate USL One, that'll be solid, both in terms of what markets they're in and how they'll perform as teams. We certainly won't move quicker with any group than they're prepared to go or is in the best sense for them to go. But there are definitely new teams that are interested and potentially in play for 2010.
Tim, outside of the structure of the league, what else is going to be discussed at these meetings? Is there going to be any discussion of possible rule changes or anything along those lines? And please, please, I beg you, do not bring back the shootout, no matter what anyone says.
No, I like it.
No shootout, like none of the time.
I like it.
I'll get to your first question first, and then we'll get into the shootout. But, yeah, it's most of the meetings geared for strategic league issues. So, you know, I don't think we're going to spend a ton of time in this particular meeting for rules, regulation, policies. We'll leave that stuff for our annual general meeting, the annual meeting that we have in Tampa, USL Soccer Fest, and the AGM, which is in later this month, about 3 weeks from now. This meeting that we're having in Portland is more focused on strategic league issues. So, I mean, a lot of times you can't discuss some stuff without discussing other stuff that's going to arise, but the agenda is not structured specifically to get into issues like, you know, how many subs you're going to have and things of that nature, at least in the, you know, this immediate term. The shootout, I am not a proponent of bringing back the shootout. I was an advocate for our getting rid of it in the first place 4 or 5 years ago, whenever that was. You know, people are all over the place on it. I think a lot of people like it, would like to see closure on games or at least have that exciting finish at games. You know, other people feel that it's a novelty and it's sort of demeans it. I really don't have it's not really a strong proclivity either way. I don't think more people come to the games or don't come to the games because you have a shootout or you don't. I don't think it makes a measurable impact on the standings over the course of the season. So, I can tell you, I won't say that it's gone forever. I don't think it's the most important thing that we have to discuss and determine as a league.
Yeah, but there is a positive to it because, you know, when you talk to the American people, the people that don't know soccer, and they go and see a 0-0 tie, for them it's a boring game. So, you know, they brought, by bringing the shootout, it brought finality and a winner. And that's what the naysayer that don't know soccer, that's what they believe in.
We could debate the shootout probably for an entire show. We still wouldn't get anywhere, Tim. Well, it's just Joe and I agree to disagree about the shootout. But you said that the meetings are going to be, the annual meeting is later this month. down in Tampa?
Right. So we have our what we call USL Soccer Fest in Tampa each year, which combines our all the franchisees. We have 125 franchisees between franchise owners between the leagues that we operate. So we have a three-day meeting in Tampa downtown, and we do that in conjunction with our Super Y League North American Finals, which is 150 of the elite teams in the United States and Canada. So we've got a lot of stuff ongoing, and that's where, you know, usually we get into the nitty-gritty of what's going to be happening for the 2010 season. And so, you know, I think the way we look at it is we're going to have a series of meetings here as it relates to USL, and we're going to have a series of meetings here over the next several weeks, beginning this week, and then continuing into the AGM, and then probably, you know, one or two in December. So a lot of material to cover. You know, each year that we do this, it gets more and more involved, and you know, one meeting or series of meetings don't cover it during the off season. So, yeah, it'll be a very active off season for us. We're excited to get into it. We're excited to work with the new ownership group that's got a lot of great plans for the leagues going forward, and, you know, to continue our relationship with Nike Soccer and Umbro.
Hey, Tim, one last question. The progress of soccer in Canada, you know, the success of soccer in Canada, what's your comment on it?
Oh, it's really exciting. Things are blowing up. I mean, you can look at, you know, just start with the success of Toronto FC in Major League Soccer. It's a great example of it. And you go to, and you look at the success of Vancouver and Montreal over the last several years, and our championship was a great testament to that. But it doesn't stop there. Obviously, the participatory numbers in Canada have always been strong. But look at the PDL. We added two teams in Canada this year. We've always had strong teams in Ottawa and Thunder Bay, a strong division of the W League. But we added a team in Victoria, British Columbia this year, and in London, Ontario, in the PDL, that both drew several thousand fans a game in the PDL. And there's just, I'm not going to sit here and specifically attribute it to one thing, but there's just definitely a real appetite for soccer done right at the elite level in Canada, and we're excited about further Canadian expansion. We're even looking in the near term developing a Canadian office of USL up in that area. You've got strong leadership now within the CSA. And, I think the future is pretty bright for Canadian soccer and for USL in Canada.
Well, we'll have our Mr. Zero, Dick Howard's going to be on our show in just a couple minutes to talk about, we'll talk about more about Canadian soccer. Tim, we'd love to have you on again, either right during the meetings or right after that, to get the update on what happened with the general meeting of the league, so we can get all of the information out to all the people. So could you do that for us?
I look forward to doing it, and guys, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Thanks, we appreciate it.
Okay.
Tim Holt here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, the president of the USL. When we come back, we'll have Mr. Zero Dick Howard live from Toronto with all the latest international news right here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on News Power 1040 WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogram.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And Dick Howard's appearance is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Pittsburgh. And welcome back to our show, Dick Howard. Dick, how you doing?
Not too bad at all, Andrew. Good to chat to you.
How are you, Dick?
Not too bad, Joe. Not too bad. How are you feeling after all the results with the weekend?
Oh, man, I'm disappointed with my team, but I'm happy for Naples.
It's incredible, wasn't it? Was it 2-0 and then it became 3-2?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, the great result for Naples, not only this week against Juve, but last week against Milan as well, because Milan thought they had the game won.
Because they're so passionate, aren't they, in Naples and Napoli. Of course, people still refer back to the great era of Diego Maradona, but certainly a result like that will help them, and it's not going to happen too often. You don't get Juventus, you know, with their defense and one of the best goalkeepers in the world sort of suffering.
Well, let me tell you, Juventus defense, really Chiellini, I don't know what happened with their goal, but Buffon had no chance. But anyway, BSMA, I think that it proves one thing, that on a given day, anybody can win. And the game's not over until the referee blows the whistle.
Until the fat lady sings, right?
Yeah,
that's right. Dick, we got to ask you, tell us about the trip to Switzerland and what happened with your meetings at FIFA.
Well, it was an interesting time because I was involved with a seminar in the Dominican Republic called Community, which basically brings together all members of the football or the soccer family in that country and deciding then in what direction they want to go in to improve the game. And then you get on a plane and fly to Miami and then Miami to Zurich for the FIFA meetings. And the meetings always are of tremendous interest because you're sort of finding out all the development programs that are in operation around the world. And FIFA, unlike a lot of international federations, spend a lot of money, spend millions of dollars each year on development programs, depending on the needs of the country. So we had updates with regards to those kinds of programs, and also an interesting discussion, and the two of you may have your own opinions, on whether substitutes should be increased in the extra time period of games in tournaments. That you have three in a 90-minute game, should that be increased if the game goes into extra time? And it certainly had a range of comments from the members of the committee, some feeling keep the status quo, others, such as myself, saying, well, why not allow two extra players and a goalkeeper in that extra time period? So what do you think?
That's interesting. That's something we've never really heard about that. I would say if you're going to do it, make it one, because you've got three subs right now, so you figure every 30 minutes you're allowed a sub, so if you play another 30 minutes, you should be allowed one additional sub. I think that would be a logical way to go.
And a goalkeeper as well, because in most cases, if it goes to penalty, you might have a goalkeeper that is better on penalty than the one that is playing the game. So, those are the kind of things. It's interesting.
But, of course, if you had Dick Howard in goal, you would never make a change at that time of the game.
It's a good point, though. I think what I was mentioning is with regards to, injuries or whether it's a tactical substitution. And certainly if you're playing in high temperatures and players are getting dehydrated, it can be critical, with regards to their safety, so to speak. But it was an interesting discussion, and that's the kind of thing that would be discussed, and then the conclusions passed on to the international board, who of course meet every year and decide if there are going to be any changes in the laws of the game. But it gives you a chance for feedback, and I think that's one of the key things, that you've got people discussing it and getting a wide range of opinion. And one suggestion was to sort of poll all the national associations, of which is, I think, 208 at the moment, for their feedback with regards to something like this. But it gives you very much an idea of the global nature of the game when you have these presentations. We had a very good one on women's football, which is, you know, increasing all the time. And it really is something that a lot of people don't know about. They sort of think FIFA World Cup. They don't realize that on any given day, somewhere in the world, there are lots of development programs taking place.
Well, Dick, I know we unfortunately we're running out of time here, but real quick, what's your thoughts on the new Toronto FC coach, knowing that Chris Cummins was fired this week?
Well, it, unfortunately, the nature of the game, isn't it? And had they made the playoffs, I think Chris Cummins might have had a chance. But given the nature of that defeat in that final game, there was no doubt that he was going to be released. The key thing now, of course, who will come in and what kind of changes will take place, because obviously there's something not right in the dressing room when you have a chance to get into the playoffs with a win against the team with the worst record in the league, and you end up at the end of a 5-0 defeat. So there's obviously things that have to be corrected there, and stay tuned, because there'll be a lot of candidates who will want this job, because it's certainly in a very football or soccer mad city, it really will be a critical appointment following British style coaches in the past. And as Mo Johnson, the director of soccer, says, we need somebody with MLS experience. So there'll be a lot of people throwing their hats into the ring. Well, but you probably had some good discussions anyway with your guest today. And rounding things off, you've had a good start with the Sunday program today, by the sound of things.
Well, but thanks to you, Dick, always, for being on the show. And we'll hopefully we'll have you on again real soon. I know we're going to talk about your frequency of you being on. We'll talk about that this week.
You have to be on every week, Dick.
Great.
No excuses.
I'll send you some sauce, okay? I'll make some homemade sauce.
We'll talk about it later this week.
But, okay.
No, good stuff and good content. Well done.
Thanks a lot, Dick. I appreciate it.
Okay,
Dick,
bye for now.
Bye-bye. Dick Howard, live from Toronto, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We also want to say before we leave, congratulations to Abby Wambach, scoring the only goal in the victory for the U.S. women's team over Germany on Thursday. Our gal Abby doing it again. Next week on our show, we'll be joined by Michael Lewis, the former writer for the Rochester Lancers. We'll talk about the closing at Giant Stadium and all the MLS news with Michael Lewis. And this has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni and Bob D'Angelo with the WYSL Controls. Be with us next Sunday at noon for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on News Power 1040 WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com. And we'll wish you all a happy November 1st, and we'll see you next week.
Ciao for now.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. It is presented by Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Commons, Pittsford, and brought to you by the following sponsors: Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, and Dr. David Olivo, family dentistry. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.